Welcome to the latest edition of the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. Coach, welcome.
So glad to be here.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
It's a rarity for us because usually we're doing this in advance.
That's right.
And so it's hard because we have to talk as if it's Wednesday, but sometimes we've even done it as early as Sunday.
Well, it's not hard because you and I sort of have it all figured out.
But it really is Wednesday.
And it really is Wednesday. We're like hot off the press here.
And we did this last week too, and what you saw is how little time it takes to finish recording this and then put it actually as a story on the webpage. And what I was saying to you before is that people like to have this mystery about what they do and how difficult it is. And
or just the power of technology. You know, even just linking it back to my team, on Sunday we came in and just did film, you know, in preparation for Tuesday. And we could have easily just sent our game breakdown and our personnel edits and things to the kids, and they could have watched them on their phones. But, you know, they and us wanted to talk through it as a group. So it's just technology is really simply amazing.
So if I could figure it out and do it quickly, it can't be that hard.
That's true. It's a pen
grade. What I've learned, exactly, we can get into that shortly, but what I've learned is there are things like in Photoshop or the program that we're using here is Adobe Audition. I can do the things that I need to do 100%, and then there's like nothing else I know how to do in those things. So before we, which order do you want to do this in? Do you want to go through the two questions we got, or do you want to talk about the game? Let's talk about the questions.
Yeah, let's go.
The first question was, who is the most superstitious player you've coached since you've been here?
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
That is a good one, especially because I think usually highly superstitious people act like they're not until you kind of stumble upon changing up their routine, right? You know, if we're taking it to our current team, I mean, Leslie's pretty superstitious. You know, that's for sure. She likes certain things on game days to be certain ways. And ironically, because what she provides our team is just her heart and soul, which is nothing that can change day to day. So I would probably say Leslie.
And then what about all time? Have you had somebody who's just like, you know, everything has to be exactly the same?
Like I said, I think those people would hide it. It's more than, so I stumble upon it more than know that.
Bill Tierney was very superstitious.
Really?
I don't know if he still is, but he was very superstitious.
Wow. No, that's okay. I can grill him for that.
The other question is kind of an interesting one as well. So when you are going through the handshake lines after games, what is being said? Mm-hmm. Is there something that should be said? Or is it just a matter of good game, good game, good game, good game, good game?
Yeah, you know, I'll start with myself. I try to kind of say what needs to be said, which is the truth, right? And so if we're shaking a hand after a win and you know, it was a somewhat lopsided, I might just quickly move on to the next and say, you know, good luck next weekend or that kind of thing. And then when you get to the players, it's more, you know, for the kids that played a lot in that game, you know, way to battle. If it's kids that's in warm-up suit or in a boot, you say get healthy. And if it's a kid that is sort of in that role that you don't really, they weren't a huge part of the game, you just say keep going, you know. And then I think, you know, it depends on, I think there's quite a variability on the winning or losing side from the other coaches. Sometimes the breeze by, sometimes the wow, your team really played well, and sometimes the see you next time.
So I've always liked the dynamic that you see between two players who've battled each other really hard at the end of a game when they go through the handshake line. And a lot of times, you know, they'll hug each other. Or they'll, you know, they'll just acknowledge how hard they played against each other. And I always like that. I haven't seen too many instances. I can't even think of any off the top of my head here where there have been issues going through a handshake line.
Yeah, no, I would hope not.
I actually saw something really cool once in a Knicks game a long time ago. So the Knicks were playing the Jazz. And it was when Ewing was with the Knicks and Karl Malone was with the Jazz. And they were right on the verge of fighting each other. Like, they were just going at it so hard. And there was a timeout, and they crossed paths on their way off the court, and they were, like, scowling at each other. And then they just, either both of them or one of them at the same time smiled, and they just high-fived and walked past each other. And I thought that was just such a cool thing.
Yeah. It's what happens inside the lines. It's hard to take it off sometimes.
And, you know, for those two guys, you know, I never met either one of them, but their reputations were not as
a little edgy,
but not dirty. So it wasn't like Dennis Rodman was going to walk off the court with Charles Oakley or something like that.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's old school.
So the Princeton women's basketball team has had itself a pretty good start to its 5 games in 8 days. Three games all at home, all big wins.
Huge.
Harvard, Dartmouth, Penn. A week ago, those were the three teams that besides Princeton, that would have been in the Ivy League tournament if it started. Now Yale has sort of moved past Dartmouth, but still. Big statement wins, and let's start with the games over the weekend, Harvard and Dartmouth. Coming into that game, into those two games, what what was your level of confidence knowing that you had the loss to Yale, but then reversed it against Brown, and then what you saw through the week in practice?
You know, I think one of the defining characteristics of this particular team is how they respond to adversity. And we felt like coming out of the gates after exams, there were a few areas of needed growth quickly. And that was we were a little slow to loose balls. We were a little lethargic to our defensive game plan against Yale. And then offensively, tactically, we had to be ready to play against a different style defense than we had seen against some of the non-conference opponents. And we knew that those three things we were going to control going into the weekend, and that was 50-50 balls, our defensive accountability to the scout, and how we moved and shared the ball on offense. And I think that was the three-game sweep right there, was those areas we were excellent in.
So with those two games in the bank, that sets up the Penn game. And that game was last night, which is why we're doing this today, because we wanted to include the...
That's right.
So we're actually talking about it after
we had a lot to talk about. I think also it's worth mentioning our alumni weekend was really a really special weekend for us, and that we had, it ended up being 43 alumni back. And
I was going to get to that at the end.
Yeah. President Eisgruber and Molly Marcusimon, our athletic director, welcomed the alumni back at halftime. We honored all them. And to think about when I first got to Princeton, people said, don't do it. You can't do an alumni weekend. You know, because everybody comes back for reunions at Princeton, it's hard for people to come back twice during a year, given how busy everybody's lives are, especially women with, kids and whatnot. And, two years ago, we said, let's just try it. And the turnout's been remarkable. We had a post-game reception over in Frick. We used to have it in Zanfrini a year ago, but our group is too big now. And that included the current families. We had even parents from the 2016 team. Michelle Miller's parents flew all the way out from California. And to have the very little gets me speechless, as you know, Jerry. And I just, I didn't know what to say in terms of gratitude and how much being a part of something bigger than yourself was personified in that turnout.
I heard Andrea Rossi was back. You know her?
Yeah, I do, only because she's our loudest fan at Harvard. You had people from Wyoming. We had the highest number of decades, actually, was the 70s.
We've had a lot of student workers through the years
who
were women's basketball players. Not lately, but we don't have any student workers anyway. Nobody would find this office, but... When we were up on the balcony, we had a lot of student workers, and Andrea was one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's remained a really loyal and fun. You know, we travel well, as you know, Jerry. We always have fans. If I could just monitor my email just for who needs tickets for games, I'd be quite busy alone. But people that were here in that game that weekend, I think it was fun. It's fun to still get emails about the energy and excitement that was Princeton women's basketball that weekend. So a big shout out to our the community.
We had Maggie Langless, Kate Theroff.
Well, that's my year. Those are my 2000s.
Okay. Leanne Drowen.
Yeah, I played against all them.
Okay.
Those are my group. That's
my
group.
They were all our student workers.
They were not happy. They were not did I say they were unhappy, but they were like, Courtney Bangard is the coach at Princeton. We've made amends, and we're quite happy to be on the same side now.
So one thing I would think, so you talked about how you played against them, mm-hmm. and they weren't happy with Courtney Bangard. How hard is it to connect with alums? See, I find this in lacrosse a lot. So Princeton lacrosse goes back to the 1800s. So clearly there was a lacrosse program for a long time before Bill Tierney showed up.
Yeah.
But there's a divide between when Bill Tierney started coaching here and everything that happened before that, because the success the program had under Bill Tierney really exceeded anything it had ever had before that. But what he did a very good job of and was very conscious of is making sure that the players who played here before he got here felt part of the program now.
No doubt.
How much of a challenge is that to a coach? I mean, the same – Princeton won a lot of Ivy League championships before you got here. There's a lot of players who had really good experiences before you got here who didn't play for you. But the program did not achieve the national success that it's achieved since you've been here.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it for a coach to bring that group in and have them engaged?
Yeah, because you're asking them to re-engage. You're not asking them to continue engagement. So that's a very different challenge. I think, too, that we're basketball, and especially in the 70s and 80s, women's basketball was really a kind of the stepchild to the men's basketball program. That's national. It's not just at Princeton. And as a result, there was some, not animosity, but sort of like, no one cared about us then, so why should we care about it now? We've had to really re-educate that this is truly a men's and women's basketball program. The men are as happy for our success as we are theirs, and we're treated as very much as equals on this campus and within our within our what we get and what we need from the administration. So it was a major edification process, and clearly they've had to, the ones that have taken the risk and said, taking my olive branch, have been my great storytellers to their decades to say, hey, this is something we want to be part of. And then, of course, as you said, the national success, people are excited to follow that. And I think our kids are played to that energy this weekend and sustained that on a great win last night.
When you first got the job, is there somebody that you reached out to and
Ironically, you know, or, yeah. Ironically, Kate Throff. She's the kid I guarded at Princeton, and she was my year. I right away built sort of a team, Lori Lacey Kyler, who was in the 90s, Kate Throff, and then right away, right when my current team graduated, I got with those guys. So it's been, you know, I've been here in my 11th season. It's only our second kind of annual alumni weekend. So we try to do things at the right time here and not rush things.
So Kate and Maggie, Kate Throff, Maggie Langlands, they both won over 1,000 points in the same game.
Oh, cool, really?
Yeah.
It wasn't against us.
No, it was in Hawaii.
Oh, wow. And, must be nice.
That's not the only time that's happened in Princeton basketball history. So Allison Cahill.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I can't remember who the other player was, and I apologize, but they both did it in the same game, too.
Oh, cool. Wow. Well, we'll see. Abby and Carly, come on. Get going.
So that takes us to Tuesday night.
Yeah, so great.
Last night. So just as you were beating up everybody, so was Penn. And
yeah.
Penn came into that game not having lost since they lost to you guys in the beginning of January. And other than a two-point win over Villanova, who's obviously a very good team, none of their games had even been close, just like yours. I mean, every game had been double figures in the league other than the loss to you guys. Going into the game, did you have a sense it was going to be one-sided?
No, I had two really good teams. I think two teams that are very, very postseason worthy. You know, it was a one-day scout for both of us because we obviously mirror our schedules. And for the defensive accountability and positioning that we played with was – I don't love to compare teams because everything is so different year to year, but there's not a better. There's not a better defensive game I've been a part of. And then the way we're sharing the ball in offense and allows our players to play to their strengths. You know, it was a really fun game to coach, a really fun game to watch, and our kids have a lot to be proud of.
So I was not able to be at the game.
Missed a good one.
I was at the University of Massachusetts watching Sacred Heart UMass lacrosse, and that's actually a great experience for me. My son plays at Sacred Heart, and you look at I look at Princeton athletics from the perspective of somebody who is not emotionally attached to any one person who's competing, and then to have the ability to look at that from the perspective of a parent really sort of changes things to me. And I think it's a really valuable thing to be able to see this from the perspective of a parent. But one thing I've also seen is I like sitting in press boxes more than I like sitting in stands when it's 29 degrees in Amherst, Massachusetts. But anyway, so I was driving back. That game was from 3 to 5. Your game started at 6:30. Basically had just gotten in the car to leave after their post-game tailgate. That's the rule in lacrosse. Somebody wins, somebody loses, but everybody eats. Start driving back, and now I have your game on my phone as I'm driving, and I'm trying not to look because I could hear John Moses and Cody Cruchell doing the game, but you know, I'm glancing every now and then, and like, you know, just never really let Penn get into it. Yeah, but what really stood out for me from that, and like Bella had a great game, 18 points, 15 rebounds, and Carly Littlefield is, you know, she is what she is now, and she's always going to be that. Like, she's just going to be a superior player and a real difference maker. You know, Leslie Robinson didn't
her
score
stat line.
The last minute. But
she had 10 assists and no turnovers.
And
I mean,
no
when have you ever seen that?
She had no points until the last minute.
Absolutely.
But all those guys, you know, you sort of have come to expect what they are. But the person I think who's taken you to another level is Abby Myers.
Mm.
And have you seen her, the jump in her game,
big
the
time.
Confidence she's playing with? And is this sort of the way you envisioned bringing her along? I mean, I think you probably thought you were going to toss her in the starting lineup more than Carly Littlefield.
Yeah, I think, you know, Abby comes very heralded as a recruit. And I think she came to Princeton and had realized quickly she had a lot to learn in terms of pace, in terms of ball handling, in terms of vision. You know, as her ball handling improves, her vision will improve, and her ability to play with others will then follow. And I will tell you, as I told the media after the game, every single day, without exception, after practice, she stays. And she works with either one of our practice guys and defends them 1v1, or now more so, she grabs some heavy balls and she just does ball handling. And as I said to the media, she's earned the performances that she's had because she's better. It's not that she's shooting better, it's that she's just better. And so therefore, she has more confidence because she can do more things. And she so easily could have packed it in and said, I'm just going to get better in the spring. That's what happens here. We get better as we go. And she has not wasted one day. And I'm really, really, really proud of her, and she's making us a lot better.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of players who can do things that other players can't. And you know,
how about that alley-oop? You see that? Did you happen to see that while you were driving down the Merritt Parkway? So we were on a 2-on-1 break, and the only pass actually that was available was Leslie running the break, Abby running on the wing, and she threw Abby a alley-oop. You know, Abby caught it, elevated, didn't land, and made the layup. And You know, it wasn't really flashy. Abby's flashy anyway, but it wasn't flashy. It was the only path available, and boy, it's awesome.
But she is, she's a different kind of player. I mean, you could tell why everybody wanted her. And, you know, when you watch your team play, and I know this is the last thing in the world you're thinking about right now, is 2 years from now, when Bella's a senior and those two are juniors, and whatever else you're going to put around them, I mean, that's an extraordinary team.
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to our staff and our current team. We're recruiting well. I think people like our style. I got an email from the coach of one of our top recruits this morning that said, I wish my own kid was fast enough, strong enough, tough enough, and smart enough to play for you and the way that you guys are doing things there. And so I think that people are liking what we're doing, and it's fun to be able to talk about it.
So two challenges this weekend as you go to Cornell first and then Columbia.
Yeah.
And those are doubleheaders with the men, so there's no home basketball this week at Jadwin Gym, which is really weird.
Yeah.
To have no home basketball in February. So the two things are, you got to go on the road, and that's a difficult trip.
Oh, my gosh. So we play – it's a 4.5-hour ride between Cornell and Columbia. So you play a night game, and then you drive 4.5 hours, which – these are giant humans on bus seats, or they're small humans like me and old. So neither equation is great. Yeah, it's a grind of a road trip, regardless of the opponent.
And then the other thing is, now these are – you're going to now play – you're done with Penn. You have the other six teams one more time each. Five of them you've already handled fairly easily – and then the other one beat you fairly easily. But the ones that you've beaten fairly easily, you have to get that out of your mind because, you know, it's 0-0 now as you're starting
Absolutely.
Over.
Absolutely, and they have nothing to lose. And that's the thing about the league is that, you know, Cornell and Columbia are playing from behind here for the tournament berth, so they have nothing to lose in terms of game plan, in terms of execution, in terms of what they intend to do. And we just have to stay focused on the fact that we know we're hunted. That's what Princeton earns across our chest. But we got to stay focused on hunting. And they're off today. We have a very light walkthrough and shots on Thursday and to get our minds right. And then we do what we do here, which is go for sweep.
So it'll be the end of five games in 8 days. That's another issue. So, but, you know, your team doesn't look tired. You know, I think that five games in 8 days when you're an NBA team and there's three plane trips in the middle and all that kind of stuff, maybe that's a little different. But when you're 18 to 22-year-old kids and you're going to practice, you would have practiced hard on Tuesday anyway.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. I think also it's the, you know, I give a lot of credit to our training staff. Our kids are in the training room getting the squeeze boots and getting the cold tub. And they know that part of their job as high-minute getters is to take care of their bodies. And we sit guys at time. I don't think Carly will practice tomorrow. Just there's no reason to give her 2 days off, let her rest a little bit. Some days I tell them, I look them right in the eye and say, I need you mentally today more than I need you physically. And I told them that on Monday. And some days I look at them and say, I need you physically. We need to build. And so I kind of, day-to-day with our training staff, I work that out.
Well, I appreciate your being here. This was the latest edition of the Court Report. We're building towards what is going to be an exciting end to this season. And, you know, you're going to clearly be in the Ivy League tournament, which has to be the first goal, playing for the league championship, looking at a ninth straight postseason berth. And we'll talk about it every Wednesday.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about this team, especially after three wins. Thanks, Jerry.
The Court Report with Princeton head coach Courtney Banghart. Jerry Price, thanking you again for being with us, and we will talk to you again next week. And thank you once again for your support of Princeton women's basketball.